All right, let's call this meeting of Senate State Affairs Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 3:31 p.m. on Thursday, March 19th. Let the record also reflect that we have a quorum present today, our Vice Chair Coghill, Senator Wilson, and Senator Costello is with us in spirit and on the phone. Senator Costello, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Senator Rivak.
Thank you. We hope that your recovery is going well. Thank you for joining us. And we have Senator Kawasaki and myself, Chairman Rivak. We also have Senator Wielichowski in the audience today. We have Carrie Cooper Ryder from Senate Records. Nate Williams is our moderator, and my committee aide, Betty Tengeman, staff in our committee today. Thank you all. Please silence your cell phones. Today we have two items on the agenda, SB 210, an act relating to special request specialty organization registration plate sponsored by Senator Costello, and SB 180, state government finances website, government checkbook sponsored by Senator Wielichowski. So we'll get right into SB 210. This is the second hearing on the bill. We first heard it last week on March 12th, and we completed public testimony. And first, before we get too far into it, we have a work draft of a committee substitute for Senate Bill 210 that I'd like to adopt.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the CS for Senate Bill number 210, version 31LS1564M. That's our working document.
Thank you, Senator Coghill, and I'll object for the purposes of discussion and invite my committee aide, Betty Tangeman, to please come and explain.
Good afternoon, committee members. Chairman Rivak, my name is Betty Tangeman, committee aide for Senator Rivak. As far as the amendment or the committee substitute, first page, line 11 down to 14, it says, if the department denies an application to create a specialty organization registration plate under this section, the department shall notify the commissioner of the denial. The commissioner may reverse the decision of the department and require issuance of the requested plate. We thought that this would suffice to allow a group that may not fit under the categories listed in the bill to be eligible to apply for a specialty plate. It gives them the ability to apply with an appeal to the commissioner.
Thank you, Ms. Tangeman. I'll just add that we had discussion about what if there's a group that we aren't seeing right now that wants to apply. This gives the commissioner the ability to maybe step in unique circumstances where they have a military group or something we've overlooked. Any questions or any other objections?
Anything from the sponsor? Mr. Chairman, anything from the sponsor?
Well, we'll get to this committee substitute before we adopt the committee substitute.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, well, if I'll go ahead and remove my objection and we'll adopt a committee substitute for Senate Bill 210, version 31-LS1564/M. Thank you, Ms. Tangeman. And I would like to invite Mr. Tom Wright, Chief of Staff to Senator Mia Costello, up for some final comments on the bill, sir.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright, staff to Senator Costello. Thank you for bringing up the bill again, and personally, I don't see any problems with the change that was made by this committee.
Thank you, sir, and we appreciate your assistance in working through the bill with us. Any other questions, comments? Senator Costello on the phone, do you have any wrap-up?
Senator Rivak and members of the committee, I just appreciate that you heard this bill. It's something that I introduced as a request of a constituent, and in times like this where we're dealing with a lot of different challenges in the state, I think that an option for organizations to work directly with the department is a good solution, and I appreciate you hearing the bill again. Thank you.
Well, thank you for bringing this bill forward, Senator Costello. Any comments from members of the committee, questions? Seeing no further questions, I'd like to gauge the will of the committee to move this bill from committee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we report the CS for Senate Bill number 210, version M, committee with individual recommendations, and the accompanying fiscal note is indeterminate.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Is there an objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 210 moves from committee. We'll take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. All right, we'll go back on the record. Next, we will hear SB 188, State Government Finances Website. It's the checkbook bill. Senator Wielichowski and staff, Mr. Graham, please introduce yourselves and walk us through the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Wielichowski. I'm State Senator representing East Anchorage and Jay Bear. With me today is Nate Graham, my staffer, and appreciate the opportunity to present this bill. We'll be quick. I know you're very busy. Everyone's busy these days. This bill would create a publicly searchable online checkbook. The state currently has a spreadsheet that you can download. It's an Excel spreadsheet with this information. However, it's extremely slow to download. It's very slow to operate. It's not intuitive. It's not easily searchable. And that has led to us getting an F from several groups that monitor access to government information. There's a couple you have in your packets, the Frontier Group and United States Public Interest Research Group, who rate states on these things. They've given us an F in 5 out of the last 6 years. The only reason we didn't get an F in 6 out of 6 was because we just don't have the information that for that one particular year. We're currently ranked 49th out of the 50 states in terms of the access that we provide the public to our government information. This is I think pretty easy to do. The information's there. It's just a matter of having somebody spend a couple hours putting a publicly searchable website together, which we think would be very easy to do. I've actually sponsored almost identical legislation to this back in either 2007 or 2008, and it passed the Senate, went to the House, it got through to the very end of session, unfortunately, and it died on the floor in the last couple days of session. Just ran out of time. And at the time, the argument, or one of the things that people said was, well, we don't need a bill because we're doing it already. When in reality, we're not doing what we should be doing. And so that's what this bill hopes to do, is to just provide government, the public, the access to this information. I don't know that I've ever had a bill that's had the support of Americans for Prosperity. And interestingly, when I proposed this legislation back in 2007, we had Grover Norquist and someone, may have even been Ralph Nader himself, come in and testify. So this is a bill that appeals to people of a wide range of political philosophies. It's just a good government bill, and I think we can do it for a zero fiscal note. And happy to answer any questions. My staff, Nate, has a quick slideshow presentation he can run through. I told him to be very quick because I know you're busy, and it'll just show you what the current site looks like and how we think we can make it a lot better. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Wielichowski. And no need to rush through. This is the last item we have on the agenda, so please let's be thorough.
For the record, Nate Graham, staff to Senator Bill Wielichowski. I was just wanted to see, do we want to go through the sectional first or this presentation?
What do you suggest, Mr. Graham?
I think going through the PowerPoint first would, and then we can clarify things in the sectional.
Please
would,
proceed.
Would be best. All right. As Senator Wielichowski mentioned, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group has ranked Alaska as the second. In 49 out of 50 for its online transparency. They started tracking online transparency and state transparency in about 2010, and Alaska's either gotten a D or an F every single year. Early on, we had D's because just the technology didn't exist in many other states to offer online transparent information. That technology does exist, and some states have done an excellent job at presenting those. So this bill is to catch us, get us caught up with those states, and provide the public with the best information we can. So the Alaska Online Checkbook does a few things. It will require the state to provide a monthly and annual financial information to the public through the website. It'll consolidate state financial information. SB 180 won't require the state to produce any new info. It'll just put it into a single spot. So this is stuff that the Department of Revenue, OMB, or administration already produces. This would just put it all together in one area. So as many people know, we do right now have a checkbook online, and that was started by Governor Sarah Palin. And I just wanted to point out a few of the differences between what we're doing here today and the online checkbook as it exists. So first of all, there's no mandatory reporting requirements for what's on the state's current site. Data must be downloaded before you can view it, so you have to download an Excel sheet. And for example, 2019 had about 75,000 transactions on one sheet, so it makes it very hard to search. Whereas this bill would have all that information available online, it'd be similar to like searching for an APOC report, where you can get the information searchable on the internet and then download what you want. The checkbook as it exists today has no online search option. It does not include revenue, and it also doesn't allow you to easily compare state spending from year to year, all of which is included in this bill. So I covered some of the reporting requirements of SB 180. You'll have every month the receipts or deposits, proceeds from taxes, agency earnings, and other revenue. And then there will also be monthly requirements for expenditures, which is the names, locations of, and to whom people were paid, the amounts, the accounts that the payments came out of, and the types of transactions by code, which would also be described to the public. So if they saw, you know, agency number three, they'd be told, you know, that's the governor's office. So just make the information understandable for them. And finally, you'd have a monthly reporting of the statutory budget reserve, the constitutional budget reserve, and the permanent fund earnings reserve account. This information is already reported. However, it's not in the same spot where you get to see what the state's spending its money on. So it's just, again, it's just consolidating information that's already public and available. So this is an example of this Alaska's current online checkbook site. You can see they break it down by fiscal year. And if you click on one of those fiscal years, the image I have on the left or the right side of the screen shows that you can download it either as a PDF, Excel document, or a CSV document. And those files are all very, very large. There's tens of thousands of transactions. They're organized by date. You would have to use a search function within Excel to see any of the documents. And this is what these Excel sheets look like right now. And so the next slide, I want to show an example. Ohio is ranked as has the best transparency website in the nation. This picture is a snapshot of their dashboard. And as you can see, you can search by year, you can search by agency, you can search by the expense type, and you can see how much they've spent each year based upon these agencies as well, and you know, the categories of their expenses and what that consists of.
So I have a question, quick. You mentioned that there's a hope for a zero fiscal note. Do you know what kind of effort it might take to get to a place like this? It seems like this might be pretty involved. Is this something that we already have the capacity to just do? And once you do it, how do you maintain it? Do either of you know?
Yeah, to the chair, I can answer your. I'll show you in just a minute. I think I can answer your question a little bit better. But once you have all of this data consolidated into a single location, it makes it incredibly easy to put together a dashboard like this. And I'll get back to that in just a minute.
I'll steal his thunder, Mr. Chairman. We think it is going to be pretty easy to do. In fact, Nate's a smart guy, but he doesn't have a real solid computer background. He actually created this on a website. It took him a few hours. It's actually on my state site. It's on my personal Senate site, and people can go on and do it. It's probably not as sophisticated as what they would do for the state, but we think this is fairly easy for somebody within the state to do, and we don't think it'll be a whole lot of additional work for them to do.
Thank you. Senator Wilson.
Yeah, Senator Wilkowski, I would tend to agree with that estimate, but we both know how much it costs to paint a small section in a house around the corner from here, $300,000, I think. So do you think that same price would be also take that same ratio for that square footage of that room to for this website to be built?
I'll let Nate answer, but he spent literally maybe a day and a half doing other things as well, and he created an online searchable website where you can go on to my personal senatorbuild.org and actually it's online. You can go play around with it right now. I know state resources are taxed, but I would think people with much more experience than in my office would be able to do this pretty easily and would be able to maintain it pretty easily. That's my take on it. I'd hear from the state and see what they say, but I look at some of the fiscal notes that we get on things, and as you know, Senator, through the chair, they oftentimes come in a little bit higher than what we would expect them to be.
Thank you.
Through the chair, Senator Wilson, I took all of the online checkbook data, combined all the Excel spreadsheets for the last five years, and made this in about a day with no experience starting. And I know our state has some very talented information tech staff that could work on this, and they have built similar programs in the past. But I think that also gets into another benefit of doing this program. In the U.S. PIRG document that I provided to you, and I'd be happy to provide the entire document, states reported a lot of additional benefits to having their information easily accessible online. For example, Ohio, who has the top rank in the country, said that vendors seeking to do business with the state of Ohio have reported using OhioCheckbook.com as a business analytics tool, which has allowed them to determine when they can offer a state agency product at a better value than an agency was currently receiving. In addition, an elected official from the Hamilton County said that he used the site to compare the prices paid for road salt in neighboring villages to ensure that the county was getting a competitive rate. And then Mississippi also reported that it saved between $750 and $1,000 per information request because it was just available at their fingertips instead of dedicating staff hours to it. Texas was able to save $163 million. I mean, their budgets are a little bit bigger than ours, but there's a lot of time and energy that you can save by having this public information available to you.
Yeah, and I would just add, Mr. Chair, if I could, in speaking with people in the state, there's an enormous amount of state resources being used to fulfill the State Public Records Act requests and Freedom of Information Act requests. And that's what this is referring to, is if people can go online and just get the information, you don't have to have teams of staff that are devoted to just helping fulfill the state's obligation under the Freedom of Information Act and Public Records Act. And I think, is that it, Nate?
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the presentation we had.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Senator Kawasaki.
Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for presenting this bill today. I think it's an important bill. I did have a question, though, on other state agencies, so Railroad Corporation, Aerospace Development Corporation, and how those would be incorporated, and then I guess just how those would be incorporated.
Yeah, Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, they would be included in this bill, all public-owned corporations, so the Railroad, Alaska Housing Finance, the Permit Fund Corporation, their reportings would all be included in this. You could have a section on, you could, instead of a state agency, you could say, you could break it down by public corporations. All that information is currently public, but it's not listed in the checkbook as it exists today. Another thing that's not on the Alaska checkbook today is the university's expenses, which would be included in this bill. So you get to see how they spent their money and which vendors they used as well.
And I think it's important to know any of our public corporations that are receiving state funds or acting on behalf of the state, that information should be public. If it's not 100% public now, would that mean that they would have to come up with these numbers, or if the University of Alaska doesn't have an online checkbook, they'd have to provide those numbers somehow differently than what is currently established under the by the executive order?
Yes, Senator Kawasaki, through the chair, they're all required to follow basic accounting guidelines when they report their expenses, and I'm not sure if they would have to change the way they operate, but they would already have the information sorted by, they'd have a list, they'd keep track of all their expenses, and they'd just be able to report it to the Department of Administration, who could then put it into this online website.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Kawasaki. Anything else? Before I'd like to go through the sectional.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, please proceed.
All right. So section one, again, for the record, Nate Graham, staff to Senator Wilikowski. Section one just simply names the act the Alaska Online Checkbook Act. Section two just adds a sentence to an existing statute. Section two is legislative findings and intent. We added this section so that we realize it's kind of hard to make a law to tell the Department of Administration how to build a website. So we just included some important language that we thought should be included as which would be subsection A. This bill establishes it's intended to allow people to identify and discover state revenues and expenditures. It requires that this act is interpreted in favor of disclosure and transparency. Finds that state revenue and expenditures must be accounted for and easily accessible to the public in order to maintain a fair and open government. And it adopts intent that the state should strive to create a user-friendly website that gives the public access to the state's financial information in a centralized location. Section three just adds a sentence to an existing statute, an existing reporting statute that says the information shall be made available on the state's online website that's established in the next section. So section 4A requires the Department of Administration to develop and operate and maintain a searchable free to the public website that provides financial information available from the central accounting system or the annual financial or the agency's annual financial reports. The first section requires monthly reportings of receipts or deposits by a state agency, proceeds from taxes, agency earnings, including the amounts collected for sales or services, licenses or permits, revenue received for the use of state money or property, and then the expenditures would include the names of vendors, the amounts that were distributed, the type of transaction, and other information that was specified by the department. The balance, and again, the balance of the state act, the state's accounts, the statutory budget reserve, the constitutional budget reserve, and the permanent fund earnings reserve account. Section A4 would require the monthly deposits into the permanent fund from all mineral leases and royalties. Section 5, the state revenue and expenditure summarized, the general fund revenue sources categories by function, department, and account, the total general fund income compared to expenditures, total assets compared to liabilities at the end of the year, and then for the preceding 10 years by fiscal year the following, the number of state employees by department, the number of independent contractors engaged by the state by department, and total long-term debt owed by the state. Total general fund expenditures and all general fund payroll, the total general fund payroll by department. And that would not be person by person, just the total payroll by that the department had. AS 37051 or 215B would describe the reporting requirements for the for the previous subsection. 05215C1 requires that the website have reference materials to assist the public in understanding the financial information provided on the website. 2 requires the website to have a feature that allows users to search for information on the website by keyword and recipient. C3 requires that the site have a link to the website of the Legislative Audit Division. The site must also include electronic copies of information related to state service procurement contracts, including compensation and contract length, information related to independent contractors engaged by the state by a state agency, including compensation and contract lengths. Subsection D requires the Department of Revenue and other state agencies that use this central accounting system to provide financial information to the Department of Administration that's necessary to comply with this act. Section E clarifies that the bill will not require the disclosure of information that is confidential under state or federal law and requires that aggregated information be disclosed if it can protect confidentiality. AS 37052 15F defines expenditure searchable internet website in state agency. Section 5 requires that the website be operating by October 1st, 2021, and Section 6 requires information from the previous fiscal year to be on the website by October 1st, 2022, and also requires the site to be, also has a provision to require the site to be updated.
Thank you. Do we have any questions? Senator Kawasaki.
Just one question. In Section 4 of the bill dealing with confidentiality, can you just give me some examples of what information disclosure might be confidential under state or federal law?
A lot of taxes received from oil companies, for one, would just be aggregated information. You would just see the total amount of taxes that you received. You wouldn't see, you know, by field or by who gave you what amount, because if it's confidential information, then it wouldn't be shared. Also, people's, you know, if someone was receiving Medicaid, their payments wouldn't be shown in this. It would just be aggregated. Students wouldn't have their, you know, if they got a scholarship from the university, it wouldn't be posted publicly. And then there's some state settlements as well in the Department of Law that would also be confidential. It wouldn't be made public here.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Coghill.
All a good idea. So how would you deal with all the different things that the state does for bidding, everything from paper to gravel to – so how is that done? Do they aggregate that by vendor? Here's the question that I'm trying to drill down to. If the state bids for commodities and they have are putting individual vendors out there, then the bidding becomes kind of a an open window for people to look over each other's bids. And so my guess is some of that would be confidential. But I think because a lot of the bidding we do, everything from legal contracts to sand and gravel. So how did you anticipate, or is there a way that the administration's talked to you about those types of things?
Senator Coghill, through the chair. So I believe the bidding process would be confidential still, but when the state awards a contract, it is public, and it is already currently shared on the online checkbook site, and it is public information. So I think it would still keep the bidding portion confidential. It wouldn't change anything there. It would just make who was awarded the contract. It would make their payments. It'd make them searchable. It might happen. This is an example of Ohio, their Department of Transportation and their expenses motor vehicles. And you could see that they bought several, it looks like, trucks. And it shows you where they, you know, where they bought it from. I don't know if it doesn't give you information if there was a bid put out for those vehicles or anything, but it does show you what they ended up paying for them. I'm sure they might have got a fleet discount. Their competitors would be able to see that. Would be able to see that they what the state paid and what the company charged them for it.
That was pretty much what I anticipated the answer, but I think it needs to be asked straight up, because I think once a check is cut, everybody's aware of it anyway, even those who bid one against another. But the spending that goes up to that bid also may be available, and I would wonder how that would work. And you know, I don't know the answer to that question, and I'll have to think about how it looks building up to it. So my guess is the bid is a confidential issue. So it's just something to ponder, that's all.
If I could, Mr. Chairman, through the chair, that you're absolutely right. I mean, it's not our intent to change any of the current process in a bidding process. That should be confidential. That's not our intent to change any of that. I don't think the bill does that. But we can just circle back with the department and ensure that the language that we have clarifies that.
Yeah, I think the spending habits and the income habits, fine. It's just that we don't want to get into the procurement problem and make a make it very difficult for the state to do it. That's all, just for what it's worth.
Thank you. Senator Coghill, were you? Any more questions? Comments?
Yeah, no, I think certainly HIPAA is confidential. So, but when you say aggregate, it would be like, for example, if we had Denali Kid Care, so much went for childbirth, so much went for this. I mean, we already have those that come to us in spreadsheets. And is that what you're anticipating in that aggregated number?
Senator Coghill, through the chair, yes, that's what I am anticipating. Or, for example, with the university, when tuition's coming in, we just say, maybe in-state student tuition was this much, out-of-state student tuition was this much, but it wouldn't break it down by person or make it easily identifiable. So, that's exactly what I was thinking.
One other question. I didn't see it in here, but it's probably here. And that is probably easily a third of the money that we get is federal dollars. So would you have a category of where they're coming in and where they're going out at? For example, our Department of Labor, our Department of Transportation, both of them heavily federally funded, our education system, our Medicare system, Medicaid system, I'm sorry. So heavily income related. So. How we manage federal money probably is important to people too. So it's just something to.
Yeah, Senator Coghill, through the chair, I'd have to get back to you on if we break down by the federal dollar to state dollar that went to fund a certain transaction. I know you can break, like for example, Ohio breaks down. They say, where's the money coming from? And to use the example, I pulled up one of their trucks. that they bought, and their money is coming from highway maintenance, highway operations. So you could see what funds they were using to make the purchase, and I think that breaks it down a lot. I don't necessarily know if it'll show you where, you know, if it was state money or federal money that was used, but a lot of these account codes too will show you if it was federal or state money.
It's just as we look at this bill, is this something I think that I would like to see as an aggregated number, only because whether it's child support, whether it's child need of aid, whether it's Medicaid, or DOT, healthcare, whatever the issue is, my guess is not only do we have a lot of federal money that people need to know the context of to state spending, but in Alaska, there are a lot of things that the state never sees that come into Alaska that are federal dollars. And I think if they had that context, they might see a different story. For example, a lot of military money comes into Alaska, some to the state, but mostly beyond the state. It flies over Juneau and lands in Alaska, a lot of cash. And so it's just something that I think, I'm just thinking of context so that when they see the checkbook, the state activity is not just the checkbook. That's that just a context.
Senator Coghill, through the chair, I think that's a great idea. But this would only, as far as what we can make it apply to, would only be the money that the state touches. So if what's spent on a military base, and the state never touches, we don't know those, and we can't control what. What's shared with us there. So
that was not my point, Mr. Chairman.
Pass through? Yes.
My point was that's a cash context outside of the state government. But if they knew that that was happening and then 30% of our other money coming through our checkbook was federal money, they might actually have a little different story about the bloated side of government or what the value is to our services. That's just something I'm thinking about. It's a context question, that's all.
Well, and I have a question along those lines. Do you know if the other states list pass-through money, federal pass-through dollars, is that at all accounted for in the checkbook, or how is it? Do you know
the answer to that?
Senator Rivek, I'm not positive that they talk about the pass-through money. However, our state checkbook, you can look and you can see that there's quite a bit more money that's expensed every year than what the state budgets UGF. So it does include our federal dollars, but I don't know. I'm not certain how other states operate that way.
And if I could, Mr. Chair, I can just say it, to the extent in the state's accounting practices have a code for federal pass-through money, we can put it online. And that's a policy call as to whether we want to do it or not. I would probably tend to err on the side of producing it. Why not? Except when you get to confidential information like child support or Medicaid or denial of kid care, things like that. That's a policy call that this committee or the legislature can certainly make. But as long as they can account it, it can be included.
Thank you.
It's just something that I would probably have. For example, if every dollar that Alaska spent was gold bar and every federal dollar had a green bar, it would be interesting just to see how those looked as it passed through the state. And it's just something that maybe a webmaster might want to think about, but it's something that we also should think about as far as enumerating it, because there is a part of it that would be absolutely intuitive, I think. If we're spending this much and if we're spending $1.4 billion on health care, but we actually have a $3 billion budget, maybe they would figure it out. That would be the intuitive side, but if it was explicit, it would show the exact amount, that's all. It's just something, I think you're onto something here. So I'm just thinking about ways to show it in the best light, that's all.
Any other questions? All right, well, thank you. I think we will take, I don't believe we have invited testimony, so.
One more question, Mr.
Yes, yeah, Senator Coghill, please.
So in our budget, we have a lot of things that are fee-for-service. And that's a little different than just a regular general fund dollars. But so I don't know. Have you thought about how to categorize those things? I mean, the income, for example, is easy. The income from DMV is easily to show that that's an income. But it's also a fee-for-service. People are getting something that's very different than, say, a delivery of a service that is straight-up general fund paid for. And so it's called designated general fund. And it's an interesting thing. For example, maybe at the University of Alaska we have tuition that pays for an X amount. So would it come through an income stream? Is that what it shows? And for example, in our large mining, the permitting is almost entirely paid for by the miners. And so I guess that would show as part of the income stream, and would it be compared to service delivery? Just something to think about.
So just on that, Mr. Chairman, Senator Coghill through the chair, I think it comes down to how you define what an expenditure is, because what the goal of this is to produce a searchable website that provides expenditures. We have a definition on page 5, between line 17 and 22, and we tried to make it broad, but we at the same time tried to respect people's confidentiality, individuals' confidentiality. We did exclude transfers of money between state agencies or individual payments made to state employees or for federal assistance, just to try to protect people's privacy. But if there's a will to try to tweak that in a way to expand that, we certainly open to the will of the committee.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good thought, because it could easily appear as though the expenditures far exceed the revenues in terms of pass through. So that's a really very good point. Well, thank you very much, Senator Wielichowski. Anything else for members of the committee before we move to public testimony? Senator Costello, online, do you have anything to add? As always, you can just jump in if you like.
Thank you, Senator Rivak. No, I am very supportive of this concept, and want to thank Senator Wielichowski for his perseverance and bringing it back. I think that Alaskans are craving more transparency, and I think that if we can work out some of the finer details, that it's a great bill.
Thank you, Senator Costello. All right, with that, I think we'll move to public testimony. We do have several folks online who would like to testify. So I'd like to remind folks online, please keep your comments limited to 2 to 3 minutes if you could, so we can get through everybody. And with that, we'll open public testimony. Public testimony on SB 180 is now open. We will start with Jamin Burton. Sir, did I pronounce your name right? And if so, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
My name is Jamin Lee Burton. I'm from Wasilla, and I'm representing myself. I think that the people presenting this afternoon did a good job of doing all the pros and saying why this is needed. I think that it's supported by a broad base of Alaskans, especially I know the people that are around and that talk to me. They want that transparency, and that this seems like a slam dunk. That's all I've got to say.
Thank you, Jamin. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we'll move to Jim Sykes from Palmer. Jim, could you put yourself on the record and give us your testimony?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Jim Sykes, and I'm representing myself, and I'm speaking in support of SB 180. I did deal with this very same issue when I served on the Matsu Borough Assembly, and I really believe that transparency and reliable information that the public expects in a user-friendly format is really essential. And it has been mentioned that it gives the public confidence, it gives the business community insight, and it really does save money. the MATSU Bureau spent a lot of time and money on public information requests, and if they could get that information easily, it would be easy to say, follow this link, and you can drill down on it. I think that it's, you know, government isn't exactly the most trusted organization these days, and with all the social media out there that can make up facts or bend it however they choose, I think that the Department of Revenue has an obligation, and they've done a very good job, to make sure that this is a source of factual, reliable information. And I think that that is a confidence builder, and it's a place we should go. I glanced at the Ohio site. It looks like it has components of something that the Bureau attempted. We didn't even have the budget online when I came onto the assembly. But then we went to something that a third-party graphical interface where you were able to drill down but not to very fine detail. And I think that it's important to have both the graphical interface and the fine detail both as much as possible. The other thing that I really like in pages 3 and 4 about being able to look back a year, when you're in your current year and your budget is being spent, it really is good to look back at the previous year. And if you see a particular budget that's being depleted 70% in the first 4 months, in the previous year it was only depleted 40%, there may be a logical explanation for it, but it really highlights some things about how the budget actually works and how it serves the public. So that's all I've got to say. I think it's a good concept. I think it is broadly supported, and I hope the committee will consider this and move it. And thanks to the sponsor and the co-sponsors for bringing us forward.
Well, thank you for your testimony, sir. Next, we will move on to Joe Geldhoff. Joe and Juno, please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Joe Geldhoff. I am a business owner in Juneau, Alaska, 2 Marine Way, Suite 207. And it's obvious to me that the state of Alaska is not a business. There is a difference between government and business. But the kind of information that this legislation calls for is exactly the kind of information all smart businesses have at their fingertips, a running tally of money in and money out. And in that sense, the owners of Alaska, the citizens, will have ready access to the kind of information, their debt, the money coming in, the money where it's being expended in obvious categories. And it will allow the citizens of the state to work with the legislature, to work with the bureaucrats, to make sure we're getting good value for the money we're spending. I view this as a cross-partisan measure, partially because of the testimony I heard today from various members of your committee, Mr. Chairman. But I urge you to go forward with this, and I think that as we go down the road, the administration, the bureaucrats within the administration, and the people at OMB will start using this tool as much as some of the arcane data points, data sets they have now. But most importantly, the citizens will have the confidence to know where the money's being spent, and vendors will have an ability to say, hey, we could do better than that. And this will result in significant savings. The last thing I'd point out in my pitch that this is a cross-partisan, look at the states that have high credibility in terms of their information. These are not Democratic states or Republican states. They're states where there's good administration. They range from southern states to the state of Ohio. And I urge you to move this along and then work with the folks who are tasked with implementing this to make sure that things like Senator Coghill's points are incorporated in this. So thank you very much, Chairman Rivak and members of the committee.
Thank you for your testimony today, sir. Next, we will move on to Timothy Hale. Tim, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Timothy Hale. I live in District 12, and I'm here today representing only myself. I just want to speak in support of Senate Bill 180 here. I think this is a fantastic idea. I have used the existing online checkbook in the past, and it is very not user-friendly. And I think an improvement is long overdue. Most recently, I tried to look up how much money was being spent at the Kinnick River Public Use Area in order to help out the folks who are planning the Jonesville Public Use Area, so they would know how much they would expect to need as far as legislative appropriations and stuff. And I was unable to figure that out based on the current version of the online checkbook. I actually had to call the Office of Management and Budget, and you know, they were very helpful and they got me the information that I was looking for. But again, it took hours. It took employee hours, you know, to look that information up for me when I could have been figuring it out myself. So I think this is a great idea. And I'd very much like to thank the sponsor, Mr. Wieckowski, and the co-sponsors, including my own senator, Senator Hughes. So thank you very much, and I hope that this really comes through as a much better product for the people. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for your testimony, sir. Next, we'll move on to Will Muldoon in Juneau. Will, if you're there, please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony. Will, you might be on mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, guys. For the record, my name is Will Muldoon. I'm a constituent of Senator Teal. First off, I'd like to thank Chair Rivek, Vice Chair Coghill, and the members of the committee. I'd also like to thank the sponsor. I'm calling in support of this bill. I think it's a great one for a lot of the reasons that we've already heard today. I'm very familiar with this data set. I maintain my own one as a hobbyist. I have been for a few years now. And so back in July 1 of 2015, the data system switched a little bit, and I think that's in relation to the IRIS changeover. But from then through to December of 2019, there's about 55 reports. They've resulted in 4,550 pages and 3.6 million cells of data. So it's a little big for a spreadsheet, you know, and it is very unfriendly to the end user. There's no way to search. And so I think that in relation to that, a dashboard or searchable is definitely the way to go. And then into some of the discussion items earlier about pass-through funding, those are in there right now as a subrecipient and federal pass-throughs. And I think it was, I don't have a screen in front of me here, but I believe it was about $8 billion of the $21.469 billion all in from July 1st, 2015 to the 2019. So I think stuff like that's an extremely valid point to just better explain kind of how our finances work. I think it's a very complex and difficult system that isn't easy at first read, and I think that any efforts to minimize those impacts are greatly appreciated.
Well, thank you for your testimony, sir.
Yep. Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right. Next, we'll move on to, is it Vary, if you're online, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Hello.
Hi.
My name is Vary DeSouvreau, and I appreciate you taking time to hear this bill today. I am the executive director of the Alaska Public Interest Research Group, which is very loosely affiliated with the U.S. PIRG report that I believe Senator Wieckowski put in as part of your packet. So Alaska PIRG was started in 1974 and is the state's only nonprofit consumer advocacy and public interest group. We work on a variety of good governance issues, and this fits squarely within everything that we believe is necessary, or not everything, but it's definitely a key component of what is necessary when looking at transparency in government. This online checkbook will encourage better understanding of state operations and ultimately reduce waste and ensure that funding is directed towards the state's most important needs. The U.S. PIRG's 2019 online portal grading system gave Alaska an F, and I'm hopeful that by 2022 it will no longer have the same grade. And just to reiterate, now more than ever, we need transparency in our governance structure to streamline decision-making and prevent mix-ups, which result ultimately in increased government spending to untangle. Amidst a global pandemic and fluctuating oil prices, understanding where funding is allocated is absolutely critical. The ability to see how our government is using public funding is, again, a fundamental of transparency, good governance. It bolsters public confidence in government, and it promotes fiscal responsibility. We, ACPRG, believe that if the state maintained a better website, then we could save costs and time that state employees currently spend responding to FOIAs or the equivalent in Alaska that ACPRG actually does place. And so it would save us time as well as a good governance advocate. So we really appreciate you hearing this bill. We urge its speedy passage, and thank you all for your time.
Thank you, Barry. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we have Mr. Ryan McKee. Ryan, if you're there, could you please put yourself on the record and begin your testimony?
Yeah, my name is Ryan McKee. I am the State Director of Americans for Prosperity, and I'm calling to voice my support for SB 180. Government transparency has always been an important part of government, but given the past few years of limited revenue and tight budgets, it's even more crucial now that Alaskans are able to see where their money is being spent. We also feel this would help give Alaskans a better understanding on where money is going, and more importantly, could help also eliminate the spread of false information, since people could easily check and see for themselves and kind of fact-check other, you know, things that people might be saying back and forth. So we're in full support of this bill, and we thank Senator Wilikowski in sponsoring this legislation, and encourage members to vote it out of committee as soon as possible.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate your testimony. Do we have any questions from members of the committee or Senator? Yes, Senator Doghill.
Senator, have you given the administration a chance to look at this, or have they commented on it with you? Is there anything that they have come to the table with on this?
Yes, Senator Coghill, through the chair. They sent us an email the other day that said they are aware of the bill and they're tracking it. They didn't have a lot of comments other than they're working on a new financial system at the moment. But that was to the extent that they've talked about it, and you know, they've had their hands full with some other stuff the last couple weeks as well.
Yeah. No, Mr. Chairman, I totally appreciate that. And for the last, 6 years, Senator, we have been working on three different computer systems that have taken huge amounts of money, which it'd be interesting to see what those things cost, both on contract and. But I think we're getting more and more capacity to drill down in not only broad numbers but big numbers as well. So I think maybe the time is right. And so have you had a chance to talk to them about their computer systems or how to fit a dashboard to the website?
Mr. Chair, through the chair, I have not spoken with the administration about this, but I can certainly reach out to them and see where they are on this. And when I proposed this years ago, I was surprised at the pushback that I got from the administration. I think they would, my guess is they'd probably prefer to just say we'd do it on our own without having legislation, which is exactly what they said last time. And my response at that time was, no, you need legislation, because what if you get a different administration that doesn't keep up with technology and doesn't decide to have the openness and transparency? And so, you know, I guess I've been through this with it prior administrations and have found a lack of support because they don't want to be told what to do. And I think just based on that history, that unfortunately hasn't proven out to keep up with the needs of society.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Coghill.
I'll agree with him on that point, but there's probably about three more points that you need to keep in consideration. Up until 4 years ago, we had many agencies on their own server. They couldn't even talk to each other. And so I think it's just within the last few years that we've actually been able to tie different agencies together. So I think the time in history is about as good as we can get right now. So I think we've grown, and I would say sometimes very well and sometimes very poorly, but I think the information technology is probably better now than ever before. So I'd say this is probably a good time for it.
Thank you, Senator Coghill. Seeing no further public testimony online, I'm going to close public testimony. Public testimony on SB 180 is now closed. We're gonna, and I just want to reiterate the gratitude from the committee for bringing this bill forward. I think the intent is a good idea. We're gonna work on some of this. We're gonna hold this bill. We're gonna look into some of the issues that came up. Again, appreciate you being here and sponsoring this bill. Our next meeting will be held Tuesday, March 24th at 3:30. This meeting is adjourned at 4:32 p.m.